Day 14, Gatherings. Welcome to Day 14 as we uncover the importance of gathering together. There is something special when God's people gather to learn and worship Him. As mentioned before, we were never meant to walk this life alone. That is why God gave us not only the Holy Spirit, but brothers and sisters to do life with. We are made in the image of God, and He created us to have relationships, just like God Himself desires to be in relationships. Human interaction is healthy mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, English Standard Version, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." It's vital for true spiritual health. I make this point because of an experience I had with a coworker many years ago. This person said to me, "I believe in God and I worship Him on my own. I don't need a church to do that." I was very young when I heard that argument, and I did not have a great answer, but I knew that didn't seem right. As I matured in my faith, I came across a scripture that helped shape my understanding of what I was thinking. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Reflect. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 says, "Isolation leads someone to break out against sound judgment." What is the difference between healthy time alone and unhealthy isolation? And what happens when we are isolated for too long? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 and Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Write in the workbook. Traps in gathering together. As you look to find a good church home, there can be things that come up which I call traps. I have heard so many believers in the West say that these two arguments are why they either don't go to church or why they stop going. One is based on the idea that the church wants my money. The second is, "I was hurt by someone last time I went to church." You can't trust anyone from churches. I want to address these two attacks that the church often faces, which oftentimes push the believer further away from the body of Christ. Money. My mother had an experience many years ago when she was very young about this very thing. The story goes that when she went to church with my grandmother years ago, the pastor came up to them and said, "You better start tithing or you need to go to another church." Now, I'm probably giving a very loose translation of what he said, but it stuck with my mother to this very day. In scenarios like this, the enemy uses greed from an individual or a small group of people to push an agenda that isn't the Lord's. The enemy distorts the truth to make it seem like every church must be like that. The enemy will do everything to push you away from the truth, and as believers, we have to look through that. The truth is this: tithing, giving, teaches us to trust God over money, and it's an expression of our gratitude for everything He has done for us. The enemy doesn't want us to trust God with all aspects of our lives, which includes the tithe. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. "In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories." Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Hurt. Over time, if you stay in the church long enough, I can assure you there will be a moment when someone fails you, whether it's talking behind your back or doing something that offends you. The reason I know this is because the church is made up of human beings, and we are all flawed. No one is perfect. Not even the pastor. Ephesians says the following, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." If you are truly walking with Christ daily, I would encourage you to model the Lord's Prayer in your own words, which is found in Matthew chapter 6. It's very interesting because it prepares us ahead of time that offense will come against us and we will offend others. That is why the Lord's Prayer says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." It's preparing us ahead of time that because we are human and we live, work, and fellowship with other humans, it will get ugly at times because we are not perfect. So prepare yourself to be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, and being patient with one another. Conclusion. You see, the enemy wants to keep us isolated, away from the body of Christ, away from gathering together. Isolation creates environments of vulnerability where the enemy can attack our thoughts, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and discourage our faith, John chapter 10, verse 10. Being by yourself is not a bad thing, but consistent isolation can feed into such things as depression and hopelessness. As emotional beings, we do feed off the fellowship, encouragement, and momentum of others around us. Even if you are introverted, the gathering of Christians still matters, no matter your personality type. It feeds your emotional and mental health, so we shouldn't neglect it. Even if someone has hurt or offended you, choose not to live in offense and forgive quickly. Don't allow that one person or situation to stop you from what God has for you. Physical or sexual abuse is a different matter. See the note below. Note, if someone has been physically or sexually abused, forgiveness can be part of healing, but the abuse must still be reported to the proper authorities, such as the police or Child Protective Services. It is not okay for a family member, relative, family friend, or even a pastor to do this to you. The church should never try to handle abuse by itself. Abuse is very different from a normal disagreement or hurt feelings. Sometimes a church or another place can become unsafe, abusive, or deeply corrupt. If that happens, it is okay and may be necessary to leave. If this has happened to you, I encourage you to pray and tell a trusted friend or family member and talk with a licensed counselor who can help you heal. When you are ready, try to find a safe and healthy church family. There are many healthy churches in the world. Being part of a good and healthy church is important for your healing and spiritual growth. Reflect. How does the enemy use deception and past hurts to prevent Christians from gathering with the church? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Write in the workbook. Denominational differences. There will be different expressions of the body of Christ until Jesus comes. You have probably heard that birds of a feather flock together. Well, to a certain extent, that is true for the body of Christ. In my experience, you have two opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to styles. On the fundamentalist side, this group would be described as less emotional, with a more logically based spirituality. Then at the other end of the spectrum is the charismatic side, which is sensitive to the emotional side of spirituality, but still roots itself in the logic and framework of Scripture. What this comes down to is personality type and personal preference. God made us with all different personality types, and that is the beauty of different expressions within the body of Christ. We are different parts, but we are one in Christ. I have learned there is nothing wrong with either, as long as Christ is anchored within these multiple expressions and the Word of God is your foundation. I have been a part of both sides, and God uses both groups effectively. They both have pros and cons because humans are involved. Believe it or not, we even see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. We are all imperfectly trying our best to pursue Christ. Let us be united as one, even though we have different preferences or styles of worship. Let's not tear one another down, but build each other up through prayer and encouragement. We are one. Lastly, be cautious, because some churches and leaders feel they are the only ones doing things right in their pursuit of God. Be cautious of these types of leaders in churches that consider themselves the pure church or true church. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. When you find that kind of spirit at work, it is the work of the flesh, pride, and of the enemy, and not of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Reflect. How can believers maintain unity despite different expressions of worship and theology, and what is one thing to be cautious about? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Write in the workbook. Types of gatherings. Lastly, there are many types of gatherings nowadays, from virtual to physical. I want to encourage you again that meeting together physically matters, even if you have a great digital church experience. I am not against online church services, but I still believe, according to Scripture, that physical gatherings matter. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 reminds us, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. If you are very digitally focused, I would just challenge you to make sure you gather in person as much as possible. I strongly believe you will find value in that physical interaction. We also see that both gathering sizes, large and small gatherings, are present in Scripture. A very simple illustration in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, New Living Translation. They worshiped together at the temple each day, large gatherings, met in homes, small groups, for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you will see God's people gathering together to worship God. It's what His people do. We see that worship through songs, prayer, fellowship, communion, ministry, and preaching as part of Scripture gatherings. It pleases God that we gather together, no matter the size of the group. Reflect. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 commands us not to give up meeting together. Why do you think the writer felt he had to command this, and what pulls believers away from gathering? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Write in the workbook. Reflect. What are the four core areas of after salvation? Hint, RCMC, write in the workbook. Verse of the day. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32.